The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Good morning! Hey, happy Father's Day! Let's hear it for our dads! Yeah. We're gonna do something again for fathers in just a little bit. But before we do, I want to just say welcome to all of you. If you're visiting, my name is John. I'm a pastor here at Hope Hill Church, and we're glad that you're here checking things out. If somebody just drug you to church saying, hey, come with me today, then we want to say we're glad you're here, regardless of whatever the reason is. And we hope that you, have a good time here, and we hope you keep coming back. Even if you don't know what you feel about church, what you think about God, we want this to be a place where you feel welcome, where you can come and find out what is this church stuff all about? What is God all about? And we want to be a place where you feel safe and welcome to explore those things. So, before we go into our announcements, I do want to go ahead and say a special thank you to those of you who are dads, whether you're a biological father or a father figure in somebody's life. I want you to know that we need you. We're grateful for you. We're grateful for what you bring to our church body, to our community, to your homes. So let's, one more time, just let's hear it for our dads, our father figures. Yeah. And we love to take time to have fun with one another. So we found a fun video for Father's Day. So check this out.
I don't care how late you stay out. Stay out as late as you want.
You want to borrow the new car? You want to borrow my credit card?
Kids today, they really have it rough.
I have no idea where we are or where we're going.
I mean, when I was their age, life was easy, super easy.
Why haven't you gotten a tattoo yet? How come you don't have any piercings yet?
Yep, we're lost. We are completely lost.
Ooh, sports.
Just do whatever the mechanic says to do.
Vehicle maintenance is completely overrated.
Look, whatever the mechanic is asking, just pay him. Pay him whatever he wants.
I wish they had soap operas at night. I like that boy. You should date him. You should date him immediately.
Well, what about the creepy guy with the motorcycle? He's cute.
Yeah, sure. Spring break in Tahiti sounds fun. Hey, make sure you get all your video games done before you start your homework.
You don't have to pass all your classes.
What? You have a project due tomorrow, and you've known about it for 4 weeks, and you haven't started yet? Sweet!
Doesn't anybody want to know if we're there yet?
Remember, if you need anything between midnight and 4 a.m., please come wake me up.
Hey, I'm on the phone. Could you bring the baby over and let him climb all over me?
Hey! Hey, can you please turn that music up?
Well, we just stopped for lunch 10 minutes ago, but yeah, let's stop again. I never have trouble with my toddler.
I never have trouble with my teenagers.
I never have trouble with my adult children.
You know, she's right. We are ruining her life.
Yes, more homework to correct.
All right, whining.
Yay, tantrums.
Vomit. We just really need to spoil these kids more.
Sorry, buddy. I don't know any good jokes at all.
You're 16. You pretty much know everything now.
I think 18 is a great age to get married.
Okay, remember, make sure you turn on all the lights before you leave the house.
Hey, could you leave the front door open for a couple hours?
Thanks. Whoa, money really does grow on trees.
Let's hear it one more time for our dads. We seriously do appreciate all that you do. Thank you for being good fathers. And today we're going to start a brand new series where we're going to look into who our real father is, our heavenly father. It's a brand new series we're starting for the summer. It's going to go throughout the next several weeks. And I'm excited about it. But before we do that, I want to recognize some missionaries, some special missionaries. The fact is that all of us are called to be on mission. We're all missionaries, but we've got some special projects. The first you just heard about was our Backyard Bible Clubs. We're going to be partnering with a few other churches and several communities throughout the Prince William County area. And we want to right now lift up those who are going to be serving this week. If you're serving as a part of a Backyard Bible Club, either at Taylor Drive or in one of the communities that we're working with together, will you just stand at this time? All of you who are serving in any way, shape, or form. Michelle, will you come on up and share with us a couple things that would be good for us to know?
First of all, thank you all for everybody who's standing for serving. There are more opportunities to serve at the Backyard Bible Club at Taylor Drive. So if you can come out there and volunteer, please come, bring your children. If you have not signed your children up for VBS, there you can still do it. And I have some registration forms here, and it has a list of all the homes throughout Prince William County. So if you think it's too far away from you, all the homes are listed. There's Lake Ridge, there's Montclair, Lake Terrapin.
There's like 40 homes on here.
There are like 33, I think, is the exact number of homes that we have. And they're all throughout the day. So there's morning sites, there's afternoon sites, and there's evening sites. So sign your kids up and bring them out. It's a great time. You can also go to communityvbs.org to register them for one of the ones in the community. For Backyard Bible Club, you can just show up. You can actually just show up to any of these also. They'll get you registered there. So.
Awesome. Before you sit down, we want to pray for those. If you're close to somebody who's standing, will you just grab a hold of their hand or put a hand on their shoulder, give them a hug? We're going to pray for them real quick as they go out into our community. A lot of our VBS workers, of course, are working with our children's ministry right now, and we just want to lift them up and just cover them in prayer as they go out to be the hands and feet of Jesus this week. God, we thank you so much for your love for each of us. We thank you that you are a God that invites us to be a part of your plan of sharing your love with those around us. God, be with these who are going to be going out to minister in these Backyard Bible Clubs. We pray for all those in all churches in the community who are going to be partnering together for this work. God, let your word be known through the actions and the things that are shared this week. Let these children come to know who you are, we pray. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Let's hear it for those servants. Also, we have two missions trips about to take place. A group is heading to Nicaragua this Thursday, and we have another group next Tuesday heading to Jamaica. These are not just random works. These are works that have established ministries that we're now getting plugged into deeply and becoming a regular part of. If you are interested in joining either of these groups this year, I think it's too late, but you can get on board for the next one. Planning starts early, so if you're feeling led to go to one of these groups, we may even have a team go to Cuba next year. A few of us are going this fall to visit Dariel's home area where he came from, and now that the borders are opening, we're going to start doing more work in that area as well. So let me have all of our missionaries who are going to Nicaragua or Jamaica stand at this time. There you go. Let's stand. And again, let's pray for these guys. So again, if you'll hug a neck, put an arm on their shoulder, grab a hold of their hand, let's pray for them and bless them. Let's pray for traveling safeties, that there's no complications as a part of the trip in any way, shape, or form. And let's continue even to pray for financial blessing. We know that there's a lot of projects that require some funding. Let's just pray and lift up them all together. Father God, we thank you so much again for being a sending God. God, you yourself came to us and you said, go into all the world. And we're so grateful for those who are being obedient to this call and leaving these areas to go and to travel to other lands, to go in your name, to meet real needs, to help build schools, to help provide food. But most of all, God, to bring your name so that others will come to know you as our Father in heaven. God, we thank you for them. We pray that you bless them as they travel and bless their work that they're going to be doing. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. All right, so let's dive in. We're going to dive into Exodus chapter 3 today, starting a brand new series called The Names of God. We're going to be looking at several different names of God in the Bible. And so to kind of set things straight, I'm going to nail down a few key things this morning to get our series going. What I want you to see is that the name of God and the names of God in the Bible are very important. They're not just random. God doesn't have a name just so that it would sound cool. I know that when Brandy and I, for instance, were thinking about what we would name our kids, I wanted cool sounding, kind of unique names. And at first it was when we didn't know if we were having a boy or a girl, I was like, well, let's find a name that could go either way. And so our first one born was, who was who? Those of you who know my family, Jordan, exactly. When we discovered it was going to be a girl, we went ahead and did a little tweak and put a Y in there, J-O-R-D, Y-N. instead of A-N. And then Bailey, either way, again, could have been a boy or a girl. And then we kind of got off track with Alexis. Most of you know her as Lexi. When she was little, we called her Sexy Lexi. And Tracy remembers why. Lexi had some moves when she was little. She probably still does, but we asked her to tame those down. Okay? But, you know, names are key and they're crucial. And Psalms chapter 9 verse 10, the psalmist said, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you." And it's very important for us to come to know in deeper and richer ways who our God is. God is not just a distant, far removed being that created the universe and wound it up and put it in motion and stepped away. God is a God who wants to be relationally involved in the innermost intimate details of our life. And he has a name. And he wants us to know his name. And my hope is that as we discover the deep truth of who he is and what his name is, that we will come to know and trust him more. The psalmist says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you." Jesus said, as God in flesh, he said, "I am a shepherd, and the sheep will know my voice, and I will know their names." God knows your name. He wants you to know his name. He wants you to know his voice. He wants you to know that he wants to be involved in the details of your life. God is a God we can know, and God is one. Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." What's unique about the name we're going to look at today is that many times we don't see it actually translated into English. We many times see, when we see the word God, we see the word Lord. And I'm going to explain that in a minute. But before we go there, I want you to know that there's some very important things about names. A minute ago, I talked about how we named Jordan, Bailey, and Alexis. It was just kind of like random. We wanted cool names. Sometimes we name our kids after somebody who was special in our life. I remember my sister Tina. Her middle name was Marie. My mom had a best friend who was my godmother. Her name was Marie. And so my sister, who was born, was named Tina Marie after her. Some of you may have a name that was passed down in a family. Anybody have a unique family name? Like, I don't know, Ludwig? Owen? Owen, that's a family name? That's a cool name, Owen. I like it. Nine? Like the number nine. Okay, unique, different. You know, we have different reasons why we come up with names that we come up. But what I want you to see in Scripture is that the names that, especially the names that God gives, they're not just random. They're packed with meaning. And I hope that you can see this. For instance, Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all living. God changes Abram's name to Abraham to show that he would be the father of many nations. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. He would become the father of 12 sons who would give birth to the 12 tribes that would become the Jewish nation, the modern day Israel. We have a man named Simon, who Jesus meets, a fisherman, and changes his name to Peter, a strong name meaning rock. And Jesus says, "I'm going to use you, and upon this rock, you're going to help me build the church." He changed Saul's name, a persecutor of Christians, somebody hunting down the people who are followers of the way, followers of Jesus. And God rescues him. Jesus gets a hold of him and changes his name from Saul to Paul. And then we go to Jesus himself. The Son of God is brought into the world. His name is not left to chance. Jesus is Yeshua. It means that he will save his people from their sins. That's what that name means. And so God has the power and the ability to not just name something, but have that name, that's destiny, be fulfilled. God with God, names are significant. Names are important. And God has the ability to see these things unfold. And he goes a step further, even when he tells us his own name. When we look into the Scriptures, we see names of God in many different places, meaning different things. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The very first name for God we see in Scripture is actually Elohim. And it speaks to the plurality of God, the Trinity of God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being involved in the creation of the world. We're going to look at many different names of God in Scripture over the summer and see the true deep meaning. And my hope is that as we see these names unfolded and the deep riches behind the name, we will come and realize we have an amazing God, an intimate God, an all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing, supreme God, and yet He knows us. As mere specks in the universe, He loves and desires a relationship to be on a first-name basis with us. And so, the passage we're going to look at this morning to kind of kick this off is from Exodus chapter 3. Let me read the passage for us this morning. What's happening here is Moses is having a conversation with God. If you know the story of Moses, how many saw Prince of Egypt? How many of you saw the Ten Commandments? The story of that last one, Exodus, I haven't seen that one, but I heard that one's kind of a little off or a lot off. Don't see it, some of you are saying. If you look at the biblical story of Moses, you see that Moses was a child. He was a Jewish boy who was about to be killed, and so his mother puts him in a basket and sends him down the river, hoping somebody will find him, knowing that the Pharaoh's daughters are bathing and doing what they do in the river. This baby floats their way, and sure enough, one of the Pharaoh's daughters takes Moses and raises him as her own. He grows up a part of the Egyptian culture, the Egyptian people, one of the family of the Pharaoh, and later he gets himself in some trouble and gets banished. Well, while out in the wilderness, as a shepherd, God appears to him and says, all that happened in your past was meant for a reason. Just like you may not know or agree with this today, but God is very purposeful about what happens in our lives, preparing us in this season for the next. He turns to Moses and he says, all your past is preparing you. I'm now going to send you back to be my voice. And he's like, wait a minute, I'm slow of speech, I stutter. Why are you choosing me to go back to them? And he kind of argues with God, but have you ever argued with God? You don't usually win. And so Moses gets sent back, and Moses is like, okay, I'll go back, but what am I to tell them? If they ask me who sent me, what am I to say? In Exodus chapter 3, it says this. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout the generations. This is the most common name of God we see in all of Scripture. And actually, many of us haven't seen it yet. Because in our English translation, we don't really see the name. When you look at the name of God in Hebrew, there are four letters that are in this before it's translated into English. And the letters are YHWH. Four consonants, no vowels in that Hebrew word. And so if they were to pronounce that, it might be Yahweh. And so do any of you actually have a translation in that verse that said, tell them the Lord Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of... Anybody have that actually in their translation? One of you do? Okay. Some of you will have a footnote at the bottom showing in Hebrew it's YHWH. And this was God's name. Many of you, if you look at your Bible and it just says Lord, look what's unique about the spelling of the word Lord. It's in all caps, most likely, in most of your translations. L-O-R-D, all caps. And this was the way in our English to say the actual name of God is actually inserted here. The word Lord was not just the title in this place. It was God's name. The name, if pronounced, would be Yahweh. But Jews, when they came upon reading this passage in the scrolls, or on the other 6,000 828 times where the word Yahweh is used, they were so afraid of using God's name in vain that they wouldn't even say his name. Instead, they would say Adonai, which means my Lord. And then my Lord said, and they would say my Lord instead of Yahweh, which is God's proper name. If I were to come into this room and say, hi, y'all, that would be a little different than me saying, hi, Faith, right? Faith is a little bit more personal, right? Faith is a part of the y'all, but if I want to get personal, I will call her by her name. God doesn't just want us to see him as just Lord, but he wants us to be on a first name basis with him. His name is Yahweh. Over time, with the saying of Adonai and the consonants for Yahweh, those were kind of mashed together, and we came up taking the consonants and those vowels together, and through translation into English, we came up with the name Jehovah. And in many of our teachings, you're going to see this summer, we're going to talk about Jehovah in different ways. A couple weeks, Andrew, one of our interns, is real excited. I'm helping him write a sermon that he's going to bring to you guys about a month from now, and he's doing Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord our provider. And you're going to see different names of God over the next several weeks. So let's dive in a little deeper into this name that we see here today. This name, Yahweh, appears again 6,828 times in the Old Testament. And there's deep meaning hidden here that I hope to be able to do at least a little bit of a good job of pulling out some of that meaning. When Moses came to God and said, okay, God, when I go and they ask me who sent me, what should I say? God doesn't just give him one answer, but he actually gives him three, if you noticed. First, the first time in verse 14, God says, tell them, I am who I am has sent you. And the second answer, he says also in verse 14, he says, tell them, I am has sent you. And the third answer in verse 15, God says, the Lord, all capital letters, for L-O-R-D, the Lord Yahweh has sent me to you. This is my name forever. What I want you to see here, that if you look at this deeply, is that the name Yahweh and the name I am, they both come from the Hebrew root word Hayah. You wonder where martial arts got it from. They wanted the most powerful word ever. Hiya! Okay? Say it with me. One more time. Hiya! Okay, so the same Hebrew root word, Hiya, there, is for I am and Yahweh. It's interchangeably used. My name is Yahweh. My name is I am. There is no other God that bears this name. I am who I am. Yahweh has sent me to you. Tell them that. There are five things I want us to see in this name. Number one is God exists. Well, that's kind of simple to say. A lot of us will even say, I believe God exists. But if we really look at ourselves and do we really believe, is your life shaped by your belief that God exists? Does your belief that God exists actually make a difference in your life? Okay, you pick the time and season, but say you're invited to the White House. The reason I said that is there may be seasons where you don't want to go to the White House, and maybe there are seasons when you do. That's up to you. But say you go there, okay, and you're at the White House, and you walk into the White House, and the president's there ready to greet you, and you kind of just acknowledge he's there, and you keep going, and you go ahead and sit at the table and say he's having you for dinner, and there are other people there, and inside you know this is his house. He's the president. You know all these things about him, and you eat the food, and you know, wow, this is good food. The president eats well, and you enjoy that food, and you enjoy the evening, but you don't really ever connect with actually him, the president. And you leave from that place kind of unchanged. Oh, I got a cool visit. I got to check out the White House. I got to eat a presidential meal. Cool. But you kind of go on just living unchanged. Sad to say, that's how many of us, as people who believe that God exists, live. In our society, it's almost American to say, I'm a Christian. Yeah, we're Americans. Of course we're Christians. And many of us, we think that there's, well, yeah, there's some kind of God. He exists. Sure. I'm not sure that we can know everything about him, or even that the God of the Bible is really that God. But yeah, sure, we have to believe he exists. He does exist. How many of you have ever seen the wind? Anybody? How many of you believe the wind exists? Now you're not sure. You're like, is this a trick question? Exactly. You see the effects of the wind, can't you? You can see what the wind does. You can feel the effects of the wind. There's a lot about the wind that lets you know it's there. In my life, that's a big way of how I've come to really put my trust in God. I see the effects of God. I see the power of His moving in my life and in the life and the circumstances around me. I can see these things. I believe God exists, and about a junior, senior in high school, it impacted me in such a deep way that, God, all my life I've been saying you exist, but do I really believe that? I kind of been living as if, yeah, you're just another thing, but not really allowing it to affect my life, almost living like a practical atheist. Yeah, he kind of exists, but I don't really believe anything about him. And unfortunately, that's how many of us live our life. We need to understand that God does exist. Where did he come from? It's unanswerable. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There was nothing before him. There's nothing apart from him. There's nothing without him. If God were to cease to exist, there would be absolutely nothing. Because God is the source of everything. He is who he is because I am who I am is his name. God is. You can look at me or my brother. Some of you met my brother. He's actually able to visit. I haven't seen him in like 5 years. He's here today. He's back in the children's ministry area. If you were to look at my brother and I, you would say, oh, I can tell you're kind of brothers. You know, there's some differences about you, but I can tell. And people were ask us, where'd you come from? How'd you get to be who you are? And we could point back to our parents. You know, our parents got together. Some DNA was exchanged and boom, we're here. Okay. We are who we are as a result of who they are and them coming together. And it's made us who we are. And our upbringing has shaped kind of how we live and what we do and how we think and how we view the world and how we treat the world. We can trace our existence back to him, but this is not true of God. God has no beginning, no end. There's nobody that has given God source or power or beginning. Because he is the source. He is the beginning. God is. He exists. He is who he is because his name is I Am. Number two, God does not change. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, God says, I, Yahweh, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. Within the name Yahweh is the affirmation of who God is. I am who I am. If God were somehow determined by the forces outside of himself, he would not be God. Many of us, we are who we are based on the culture that we've been brought up in. We've been shaped and transformed by unforeseen circumstances and situations, pressures applied on us, cultural things around us have shaped us who we are, but God is unchangeable. God is not affected like we as human beings. We can change our mind. Have you ever changed your mind? Some of you changed your mind, and that's why you're here today. You were going to stay in bed, and thankfully you changed your mind and you came. We change our mind. Sometimes we change our mind and do something we don't want to do. Has that ever happened to you? Because of the weakness inside, we kind of give in to pressure, but God is who he is. God foresees all circumstances and has no weaknesses. Nothing in all of creation takes him off guard or backs him into a corner where he might have to act out of character because he is God. He doesn't act differently ever. He never compromises his integrity. He is who he is. The book of James says, with him there is no variation or shadow due to change. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His holy name assures us of his unchanging nature, his undying love, and his ongoing forgiveness and faithfulness. Number three, God is inexhaustible. Isaiah 40:28 tells us that Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. If God is the everlasting, absolute reality, then He is the beginning and the source of all things. For those of you engineers or scientifically minded, He is the beginning of all motion and combustion, all fusion and fission. Everything finds its origination in Him. All the energy of the universe had to begin somewhere, and if there was nothing before or apart from God, it must have begun with Him. He is an inexhaustible reservoir of power because He is power. God is energy. He is love. His personality is radiant and infinite and never ends. He never needs recharging. He doesn't need a backup system. There is nothing for Him to plug into. In fact, everything in life that exists plugs into Him. If He were to ever shut down, there would be absolute nothingness. In Him we live and move and have our being. Our very essence is found in Him, according to Acts chapter 17, verse 28. He does not faint or grow weary. He is an unending river of life and the source of our strength every morning for all eternity. This was so beautifully put in a couple talks that Louis Giglio gives. Anybody seen Indescribable, the one where he talks about all the planets, these beautiful stars? How many of you have not seen this? You would know if you've seen it. I almost want to just show it on a Sunday morning. It is so powerful. Louis Giglio goes and shows all these pictures taken by our telescopes and whatnot. And just the beauty and majesty of the stars, of the systems, of all the bodies within the universe. And he ends by saying, and all of this was made by God. And yet, you and I, just mere specks of dust on this planet, we're His most prized creation. He gave up everything for us, for you, for me. After one of those times He gave that talk, this scientist geeky guy came up to Him. No offense to any of you scientist people. I like to be referred to as geeky sometimes too. But this guy comes up to Him and he goes, hey, I've got the thing that you got to talk about in your next talk. Go home and Google laminin. Google it, guys. Google it. Okay, if you don't have service, do it when you get home, okay? But if any of you want to do it right now, you're going to, oh my goodness, you found it that quick. Okay, that looks like a religious symbol, doesn't it? We're not doing this to trick you. That is what scientists call laminin. You know what that's used for? Like, it's some kind of like thing in molecules and matter. It's like the glue of that holds everything together. That is. And that's not just a drawing. When they look at it in a microscope, that's what it looks like. Isn't that mind-blowing? So look up, you can actually find it on YouTube now. I don't know if somebody illegally put it there, but it's glorifying God. So go watch it, okay? Put up Louis Giglio laminin, write that down, go watch it. Your mind will be blown even more. Christ is the essence. The scriptures tell us that everything that exists in life is held together by Him. This is the molecule that holds our matter together. It's crazy. Okay, here we go. Number four. What does the name I Am tell us? It tells us this. Number four, that we must conform to God and not He to us. If God exists, if He is all powerful, if He is the source of all life, of all that is, we must conform to Him and not Him to us. Many times, we think of God and we make the God we want, the God who provides blessings, the God who loves us. We don't like the God of the... Many times I hear Christians say, I don't like the God of the Old Testament. He's mean and angry and does harsh things. He's the same God. He loves us. And He's just. And we have to conform our lives to Him. If children should conform and learn from their parents and not parents from their children. If players should learn their moves from their coach and not the coach from the players. If soldiers should learn their strategies from a general and not the general from the soldiers. Then surely it is God's plan for His creation to learn how we live and move and have our being in Him, our Creator. But unfortunately, we make God who we want Him to be. And we decide, I like this part of you and not this part. It's kind of like a commercial I saw a couple of years ago. There was this battleship raging through these seas. And on the radar, this blip comes up. And this battleship sends out this message. Change your course. And this voice comes back and says, you should change your course. And this battleship goes, do you understand who you're talking to? This is a battleship, USS whatever it was. And change your course immediately or deal with the consequences. And again, the voice comes back and repeats, you should change your course. And the captain gets on and says, do you know who you're talking to? Change your course now, immediately, or suffer the consequences. And the voice comes back and says, we're a lighthouse. Some of you are still trying to figure that one out. But anyway, God is the lighthouse in our life, and He doesn't change. He doesn't move. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. And our job is to move our life based on who He is and who He wants us to be. We can't tell God He's something else. He is who He is, and we got to figure out who that is. He is a God that loves us and has the best plans in our life, and the sooner we can get in line with Him, the better things are going to be. Number five, because of time, we got to wrap up. Number five. This all-powerful, this all-never-ending source of energy, this person who is love, because He is love. He loves because He is love. This creator of the universe lowered Himself. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. God became one of us. This God, Yahweh, I Am, came and took on human flesh to get our attention. As we are now, back then, we were looking to everywhere else but to our Father. He said, I've got to go down. I've got to become one of them. I've got to show them how much I love them. And He came down to become one of us. Many people have heard of Jesus, and they said, well, Jesus was a great man, a good teacher. He did a lot of great things. He loved the poor. If that's all you think about Jesus, then you're missing something. The Pharisees looked to this man, Jesus, and they were like, who is this guy? Sure, he's doing some good stuff. He's teaching with some power, but surely he can't be God. In John chapter 8, an argument unfolds. The Pharisees, as they often were looking for a way to discredit Jesus and argue with Him. And they come to Him asking Him, how can you teach with this authority? How can you make these promises? How can you say these things? We worship the God of Abraham and the God of Moses. Who are you? In John 8:56, Jesus, in answering the criticism of the Jewish leaders, He says this to them. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Jews said to Him, what are you talking about? You're only 50 years old. There's no way He saw you or your day. What are you talking about? You're insane. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you that before Abraham was, I am. The name that is only for God. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Yahweh. Jesus is God. Completely, in flesh, stepped into our mess, took our sins upon Himself. He who knew no sin became sin in our place so that we could become His righteousness. He took our place on the cross when He allowed His body to be broken, His blood to be shed. And if we will know Him and His name, He will offer His loving forgiveness, His saving righteousness to any who would receive it. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the creator of all the universe, and yet he lowered himself and became one of us. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. God of the universe became one of us, offering up his life and our place, calling us to have a relationship with him. This is the God we worship. Not some distant, removed God. Not some God with some weird name that doesn't mean anything. We worship a God who exists, who's always existed, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who created everything and loves you. And died for me, died for you, taking my sin and our sin upon himself so that we could be set free and know his love. And he's here to know you today. He knows your name. And he wants you to know the deep, rich truth of his own. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for all of us who are in this room. For our mothers, our fathers, our children, that we would come to know you, who you truly are. Our great and wonderful, our all-powerful, loving Father. God, I pray for those who are in this room who may not know you yet as Father, who may not know you yet as Lord, who may not know you yet as Yahweh, that your Holy Spirit would come and fill each of us now, that you would begin the life-transforming work that only you can do, that you would make us new children of yours. God, come. Draw us to yourself. If you're here this morning and you've never known God in this intimate, personal way, God wants you to know he knows your name. He wants you to know his name. He wants you to know that he has a plan for you in your life. And all you have to do is accept his forgiveness, his love, and he'll come in and fill you and change you forever. Call out to him right now and say, God, Father, Yahweh, Lord, come into my life. Make me yours. Make me new. Forgive me for the things I've done and the things that I plan to do. Forgive me. Help me to follow you. Come into my life and help me to be yours. Help me to come to know you as my true heavenly Father. God, I also pray for those who are in this room who know you. Lord, help us to live as though we truly believe what we say we believe. Become the Lord of every area of our life. God, if there's an area of our life that we need to yield to you, help us to yield it. Help us to change the course of our life. Help us, instead of asking you to conform to ours, God, help us to conform to you. Your ways are better than any that we could ever dream of. Help us to come to love you and follow you with every area of our life. God, help us to come to realize again that none of this is possible unless you come and you become one of us and take our sin upon the cross and die in our place, allowing your body to be broken and your blood to be shed, so that any of us who put our belief in you and call out you as Lord will be saved. God, as we remember this today, as our band plays, as we take communion, a piece of bread as a symbol of your body broken for us, and dip it in this cup of juice, a symbol of your blood shed for us. God, let us eat of this, remembering that you died for us so that we can go from this place living for you. Move among us now, I pray.